We know and we anticipate that the president will call another family meeting certainly ahead of the 15th of December, which is when the current state of national disaster will come to an end. It is most anticipated that the relevant minister will extend that state possibly by another month. We also heard reports yesterday that the National COVID-19 Command Council is recommending to the president that some restrictions return. A curfew that now will start at 10 o'clock at night. Off-site consumption sale of alcohol will only happen Monday to Thursday, should it get approved, of course, by cabinet. Reduction in the number of people who are allowed to gather, less than 100 inside venues, including churches, and less than 250 for outside gatherings, and a whole host of other things. The Premier of the Western Cape is rather opposed to this, wanting to see more localized interventions that he says will be based on science and data that we have. He says the Western Cape, for its part, will be working on specific and localized interventions aimed at reducing the infection rate. One of the ideas he wants to introduce is that of circuit breakers, a concept that has seemingly worked successfully in Australia as well as New Zealand. What is a circuit breaker? That's a question we're asking Professor Bertram Fielding, a molecular biologist working on the coronavirus since 2003, as well as Director of Research Development at UWC. Bertram, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa. Thank you for having me on the show.
What is a circuit breaker, good sir?
So, Africa, a circuit breaker in virological or infection terms is really a set of restrictions that will be imposed on a specific group in a specific location for a specific time. And I think the specific time period is important because that distinguishes it from the level 4 and level 5 that we had before, where there was no definite end to the lockdown period.
So what then would be in place? So let's imagine that the Premier gets his way and he introduces this circuit breaker concept. What does it mean? Dunoon, for example, is one of the sub-districts in the Cape Town City Metro that is of concern to the health officials because of the numbers that are spiking there. What would happen then in that situation?
So if you look at different countries where circuit breakers have been imposed, it varies. Some of them have really gone what we saw as a hard lockdown, so closing of non-essential businesses, closing of schools, really restricting people to stay at home and minimize contact between people to immediate family units within a living space. So in theory, it could work, but we need to look at this very carefully. The countries where it has worked before or have worked is socioeconomically very, very different to South Africa, and that is my biggest concern. Just because it worked somewhere else doesn't mean that it would work in South Africa.
What then, in your opinion, would be more effective? The Premier, very adamant that he doesn't want to see, certainly not a province-wide lockdown, would even be loathed to seeing a lockdown by the various districts. I should say, by the way, that in the Garden Route, the municipalities there are cancelling all large events and closing public venues, such as town halls and sporting grounds, ahead of what is an influx of holiday makers. The MEC for Local Government, Environmental Affairs and Development Planning, MEC Anton Bedell, saying that due to the risks of the virus spreading at large gatherings, mass public gatherings would be cancelled in some areas of the province until the resurgence was under control. Is that enough, or do we need more pointed intervention?
You know, I'm not a fan of any lockdown. I think this all boils down to social responsibility and each individual taking responsible for themselves. If we looked at even our level 4 and 5 lockdowns, yes, we call them level 4 and 5 lockdowns, but if you went into areas like you mentioned Dunoon, nobody even wears a mask, and there were no lockdowns in those areas. People were still interacting. So I think it's about social responsibility, where we expect people or we encourage people to wear their masks, stay home when they are ill, do the social distancing or physical distancing, you know, those type of measures. None of the measures that we have implemented or that's being implemented elsewhere globally lockdowns, or even wearing of masks, sanitizing, will stop this virus spreading. All of these are simply intended to slow the spread of the virus. So I think social responsibility being taken by every member of the public, I think that would probably be, from a virus perspective, the most effective measure to put in place.
But then that requires a whole behavioral change campaign, right, which sits with sociologists really primarily, more so than people like yourself.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's what we've been saying as virologists right from the start, as coronavirologists. This is not just a viral aspect. This is a multidisciplinary approach that we need to take. Remember, we 9 months, 10 months into this pandemic, what are we seeing? We're seeing pandemic fatigue. You go to the mall at the moment, people are wearing masks, but they are not wearing it even to cover the nose and the mouth. We know how this virus spreads. So it's about a multidisciplinary approach, including sociologists, kind of working with people to overcome this pandemic, this COVID fatigue that we are seeing.
Do we, I don't know, throw the bathwater, I suppose, with the child and say, you know what, the only, because we're not seeing a social behavioral change with this, there is an acknowledgement that there's a coronavirus fatigue in this country. It's what, day 252 of lockdown. And if all reports are correct, we will then see more restrictions being put in place by the president the next time he calls a family meeting, certainly an extension of the state of national disaster from the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, as is her mandate to do so. Do we say, well, don't bother with all of that. Let's wait until we get a vaccine and get the virus under control in that way, and let people continue with the freedoms, I suppose, that we continue to enjoy under this alert level one of lockdown?
That's a very difficult one. I think it is not just about people doing what they're currently doing. It is about, as I've said, the social awareness you've mentioned, bringing in sociologists, having discussions with people afresh about preventing the spread of this virus. Remember, the vast majority of individuals that will be infected will either be very mild to moderate symptoms or asymptomatic. So I am not, as a virologist, I am not concerned about the increase in numbers. I am concerned about those that end up in critical care and ICU because they are at risk of dying. So the question I ask myself as somebody at low risk of developing severe COVID, how do I protect the person that is at higher risk? And for me, the answer is wear your mask. If you have any symptoms out of the ordinary, and we can't just look at flu-like symptoms anymore. There are some other symptoms as well. Rather stay at home and self-isolate. So going and just continuing the way we're doing it at the moment, it's not working because people are not adhering to measures. If we have a lockdown, not all areas are locking down, and that makes the lockdown idea very ineffective. And remember, lockdowns are not intended to remove the virus from the population. It only slows down the spread. So until we have very good antivirals and a vaccine, etc., this virus will keep on circulating. We cannot remove it just by isolating from the population. And when we do have a vaccine, it is really giving out that vaccine to higher risk individuals, medical personnel and above 65, above 60 with comorbidities. So I think we need to be more strategic in this.
We certainly do. We wait, of course, to hear from the Premier, Alan Wendy, what the detailed plan is as far as the provincial interventions are concerned. It's also legally a tricky ground, isn't it, Bertram? Because it is ultimately a national directive, right, that we need to listen to. It is the cabinet, national cabinet, who will make the final decision. And I know that in that PCC meeting yesterday, the Premier would have also inquired what powers do they as provinces have in actually putting in place interventions that are perhaps specific to particular locations that will not be shutting down the entire economy. Thank you for your insights and your reflections, Bertram.
Thank you so much, Africa. Have a good day.
Professor Bertram Fielding, molecular biologist working on coronavirus since 2003, as well as director of research development at the University of the Western Cape. The Premier will, in the coming days, be reporting and detailing what his interventions will be that will be informed by science and will be specific and localized, aimed at reducing those infection rates.